Welcome to another round of the Rugby Report Card, reviewing round five of the competition. I have to start off, question to both of you straight away. I'm not even going to introduce either of you. Surely the Western Force game of the round, epic performance from the Force. What do you think, boys? Start at the bottom.
Nah, just the win no one wanted, as it's been stated. The win no one wanted. On a personal level, they're at the back end of a very long multi that saw some great results, so I was livid. Turned it off after Harry Wilson coughed it up on the kickoff and they crossed over. If you're a Force fan, how good for you. How about going to a game? And if you're a Reds fan, look, fuck, maybe it's a wake-up call you need. Who knows? Just the boys didn't show up. But they've had round on round of epic encounters. Maybe they're allowed a week off.
So I was going for the positivity start to the podcast, but thanks, James. And also,
Money first.
Yeah, well, what Jim's left out there is his multi that was ending on the Reds winning. So The poor Force are up against it here. He's never going to give him a fair shake of the sauce bottle. What a topsy-turvy round. But I eat some humble pie, man. I was on here poo-pooing the Force, saying they wouldn't make another rugby team. Boys showed up. They deserve some credit. They deserve some respect. They really do. They really, really, really do. And I apologize, Force fans. I spoke prematurely. That is the job of a podcast. Hyperbole. Okay? That's what we do here. So don't take it personally. But I must admit, I do agree with Jim's sentiments. It is the win no one wanted. And what I mean by that is there was hype behind the Reds. I think we're on here last week. We said power rankings. Top four team in this competition, the Reds. How many Reds are going to be in the Wallabies? How good are the Reds? And it just felt like, oh no, they're shit again. And I'm sure they're not the case, and hopefully it's the wake-up call they need and it's no big deal. But there really was that sense at the end of this weekend, oh no, the Brumbies are our only hope and they're not that good. They were sensational this weekend though. So it did feel a little bit like that.
Can I just say, this is the world of podcasting, I get it, but two things. First of all, we've been doing this for a while. I think that's the first time Blake's ever apologized to the Western Force fans within a podcast. So kudos to you, mate. And second of all, we just need to calm down, boys. It's just one game.
It's the showmanship that you need. I've been hanging out for the stats on this one, Richard. Force, Reds, what did you see?
Do you know what? Reds actually had greater amount of possession. But the Force had, more time in the opponent's half. But the biggest thing was looking at it, simply down to the ability to ruck. The Western Force got there, got over the ball, protected the ball, and counteracted so much more effectively than the Reds did. And if you actually look at it within the stats, the Reds had more rucks won, but in terms of how the Force actually, the amount of time it took them to clear the ruck, et cetera, was much more effective from the Force. That was a big area, which I wasn't expecting for the Force. They put they committed a lot of men to that breakdown, and kudos to them because it disrupted the Reds' play. Because when the Reds did have good ball, they still looked really threatening, and looked like they were going to score a lot of points. And obviously they didn't. But a lot of that comes down to, as I say, the Force slowing the ball down legally and illegally. And kudos has to be,
that's how you play the game. How you play it. It's not nice. It's not pretty to say out loud, but you got to cheat to win. That's what we love about this sport. So what you're saying, Richard, there is Force, a lot of luck in the ruck.
No, not a lot of ruck. That's being
disingenuous. He just wanted to rhyme. Don't fall for it, Richard. He just wanted to rhyme. Yeah, I actually, on your ruck point, I think it was the credit Tizzano deserved. I feel like in every other week, he's gone just as hard at the breakdown, but he's been on the wrong side of the referees and he's had his timing just off. It felt like this weekend, everything clicked for Tizzano. And he really took control of the game, which is no small feat against, what we were dubbing the Wallaby back row last week.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it was just you're absolutely right. Good old Western Force product. I know he was at the task for a while, but Western Force product is honor. But it was also just others, frankly. So just the whole pack really just put a much better performance in than what they had done in the previous week. I thought they won the contact at times. And the Reds just, we're off probably 5%. And in a competition where it is reasonably close this year, even though we thought the Reds were a lot better, you can't drop that, pun intended, 5%.
Can't do it.
No, and the Reds...
And I don't even know if it was the 5%. It was more just moments. I feel like I agree kind of with your sentiment. Reds had more rucks, Reds had more possession. Reds look really dangerous. I felt like, you know, the fact that they got it as close as they did, the Force just in those moments got points. And the Harry Wilson two drops, kickoffs, case in point. They're rare moments.
Yeah, unacceptable. This game goes for 100 minutes, Reds win.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with that too. But hey, give it to the Force. They deserve all the respect. And another bloke, I think, I almost feel like we have to over-acknowledge his performance because of how harsh we were at the World Cup, is Ben Donaldson. He was brilliant again. He's had a very, very, very good season at a team not doing so well. So I thought Ben Donaldson had another blinder. And he looks big and fast.
He is a big dude, man. He looks big on that field.
Yeah.
That left knee, I don't know what he's done. Ben Donaldson. I know you're a great researcher, Blake, but I don't know what he's done with his left knee. What I don't know if that's a cause of the problem, but you're right. He's moving reasonably well at the moment, and his game management is good, and he's kicking his goals. He's still behind, obviously, the other two, but you're right. He started the season well.
Not a mile. No, it's front runner for me at the moment, which I didn't think I'd be saying now. It's quite exciting.
You've said it a couple of weeks now in a row.
But I also think Donaldson is helped massively by Nick White being inside him. And I thought Hamish Stewart had his best performance for a long time, and against this former club, but we have to give credit where credit's due. He looked a threat, carried the ball well, distributed well. And I think overall, the Force's kicking game, Donaldson just out of hand in the back three, kicked pretty well, you know?
Yeah, really made it work for him. It takes so much pressure off him with Nick White at nine there, base of the ruck, making some really good decisions. But Donaldson, for a big guy, plenty of room to grow.
Case in point is Donaldson's only weak game is when White didn't play. Otherwise, he's had a ripper of a season. So, mate, humble pie here. Humble pie for me. Well done, Force. A shame for Australian rugby, though, because, you know, as much as the Reds can go fuck themselves, I genuinely was really, really hopeful and optimistic that the Reds were going to be a top two, top three team this year. But, you know, it's just one round. You're right, Richard. I shouldn't get carried away. And it was just a couple of drop balls. And maybe it's just what Les Kiss needs to rein them back in. But it was disappointing.
Just last thing before we move on to the game before. I think it does whet the appetite in a strange way. If they'd have won that game at a canter, we would have all gone into next week's game, the Reds-Brumbies game, you know, fully expected the Reds, but maybe with a charged up Reds try to prove a point, this adds an extra layer to this Brumbies game up at Suncoast, which hopefully brings the round to a close, round six to a close. Should be an absolute ripper.
The imagery, Richard, a wet appetite, a charged Red. You're doing very well today.
Do you know what? That means a lot, James. Thank you.
You've done ruck and luck, Jim. What have I brought to the table?
Not much, mate. It's been noted.
On to Zano, just like there's something to be said coming back home. I love a dude who goes back home to reap. Him going back to the Force with some form, how good?
Talking of something that's how good, how good, Blake, is it that the Crusaders have now got pumped again? At what point do you start to feel sorry for them, or do you bask in the glory of just them losing week after week?
Oh, you bask. It's just like they're the Cats, not the Crusaders. They got funny jerseys. They're a bit shit. You don't know who the players are. They're the Cats this year. Mate, it's just they just had so many players leave. They had their coach leave. What a time to get out. Knee time at Wright Robertson.
Yeah.
And anyone who was left is injured. That they are, like I said the other week, you look at the players on the park, the results aren't surprising. You know what I mean? The jersey can't play for you, and they change the jersey anyway. So, suck shit, Crusaders. But the sad thing is there's nowhere to hide in Kiwi rugby. If you've got a weak squad, well, you're getting pumped most weeks because you've got other Kiwi sides to play. So, it is what it is. Unlucky, Crusaders, but that's a shame.
You know where you find myself in sports is I always want to cheer on legacy. The same way as you want Tom Brady to win as many as he can. The same way you want LeBron to win as many as he can. The same way you want Lewis Hamilton in his prime to win as many as you can. You want the legacy because you want to live during the time of the best of the best. And it works the same way for the Crusaders here. They're on a record-breaking run of losses, and I want to be alive for their legacy, their worst legacy ever. I want them to keep losing.
I thought you were going to make the point that, you know, we're getting old, man. We've seen it. We've seen the legacy.
This is new. This is brand new for my world.
This is the losing dynasty. Let's get around it. Let's enjoy it.
It's the losing dynasty.
Oh, I never thought I'd say the words on this podcast. We've done the podcast long enough, boys.
Fuck, there needs to be a doco, a Stan doco.
Yeah, just sound like, get the fucking tea out. Get the tea out. That can be the highlight of this season. No one?
No, it's great. It's great.
I liked it. I liked it. It's about losing dynasty. That's funny. You know what? Just before we move on, we have to say Blues. Good job, Blues. Caleb Cott has lost. He looks sharp. He's trimmed down. Tua Pulotu, 100th test. Congratulations to him. That Blues team's got a lot of potential in it. And even doing it with a few players as well, went to the bin. But just did a clinical job on the Saders, which wasn't the case for the Chiefs Highlanders. You know, the Chiefs didn't have a lot of the ball and was obviously a closer game than what I anticipated. Highlanders had more possession, more territory, had more ball in hand. But just the Chiefs were clinical, you know, more clean breaks.
Can I give you my, watched this one and it, you know what really pissed me off about this one? Is Chiefs were clinical, they're on fire, they smashed it in the second half, and the first half, and then the second half was just fucking textbook Paul Williams, Mario Kart rugby. Textbook Paul Williams, Mario Kart. I would love to hear what the penalty count stats were in the second half and the possession stats were in the second half. I mean, fair play to the Highlanders, they played better in the second half. But there's no way the Chiefs just got that shit in the second half and the Highlanders got that good. Do you know when the ref just gets it in the head to even it up? It was diabolical. I must admit I missed the first half, but in the second half it was just the arm went out one way, one way, one way. And it just didn't even seem fair.
It went that way pretty much the whole game. So if you look at possession and time in opponent's half, the Highlanders were in the positive for both first and second half. And you just look at it, the Chiefs made 243 tackles, missed 45 of them, but it just shows you how much. Thanks, mate. I'll try. It just shows how much ball they had. So yes, you're right. It was more one-sided in the second half, but I think it was just generally that way, which gives even more credence to the point that the Chiefs were clinical, finished strong, and were just had that little bit extra quality than what the Highlanders did overall.
Yeah, to win this just, game with that much possession, they're a good team, man. Yeah.
But it was just 28-0, and I was like, all right, well, how much are you going to run away with this? And it was just keep blowing the whistle until the Highlanders were in it is how it felt. I don't know. I found it frustrating. Now, Mario Kart.
Trying to compensate for the red card.
You know what? I actually think Paul is a very good referee. He's one of the better ones, but he's a real momentum ref. And once he's got a roll on that a team's doing well and the other team's doing poorly, he tends to get frustrated at them. Mm. Just keep blowing it the same way. And it just reeked a bit for me and it bothered me.
Do you know what frustrated me was unfortunately the game before that. What frustrates me as a Waratahs fan is the fact is that they are in every game they play, but they can't get over the freaking line right now. There's a losing culture. Not a losing culture, but they don't have the experience or the skill set to choose their moments correctly, because I don't want to jump on the bandwagon of, yeah, congratulations, they came back from whatever it was, down 12, down 14, down, make the game. No, that was a game that was there to win. And unfortunately, to be a good team, in inverted commas, you need to win those games. Leadership seems to be lacking, all right, to take the team by the scruff of the neck and just will them over the line. You think about all the great captains that are around, and the Waratahs don't have that at the moment. And I think we swung off them to begin with, and they've beaten the Crusaders to say lots of positives, but we have to call a spade and be like, this wasn't good enough. They should have won that game.
They should have. There's too many people leaving this squad, man. It's doing damage. I can, looking at the run-on team, I can see four plus a coach. There's too many people leaving this squad, and it's easy. It's easy to rely on that and say, oh, look, they're not in. it's an insult to them to actually say it, but it does play a role, man. If you know you're not going to be somewhere next year, whether it's a subconscious level or a subliminal level, it plays a part. It weighs into your want. And at a level like this, where everything is almost at the highest class possible, that's all it takes for a drubbing.
Yeah, I think, I agree with everything you boys said. I mean, 3 weeks in a row, they've lost by 2 points every single game, 2 or 3 points. It's the season that could have been for the Waratahs, and they're obviously not playing poorly, but they're in it. And, you know, that I guess that's an improvement from last year. But there's something.
But if that's the metric, metric.
And the point I was going to make is, and we, you know, we'll get to the Chicago Bulls reference, which is pretty cool by Mika Kick. But really, if you are a contender in this competition, and I hope Mika Kick isn't listening, you kind of got to beat the Drua convincingly. Like, you know what I mean? You can't be coming back to beat the Drua. Like, if you are going to be a top 4 team in this comp, you've got to beat them convincingly.
The fact that it's in Drua territory, so it says something.
Yeah, a little bit. But
a Drua on away, an away Drua, you got to beat them convincingly.
I think you do, mate. And I just look at this Tars team. This was a strong team named by the Tars. They're not dogged with injuries right now. There's a couple.
Hannigan's in the lineup, and you know the theory. He's in the run-on, no good.
That's as good a team as you're going to expect to name in Super Rugby. You're always going to have one or two injuries, and to be behind so convincingly. And when they were behind, they didn't even look in it. You know, they were just getting pumped. And yeah, they came back, and that's good. But I know if you're a contender, it's just not good enough, I think. And then obviously, to your point, 3 weeks in a row, a couple of points in every game. You know, I guess this week, really sadly, it's probably not the business of this podcast, Colvin's brother was sentenced to prison. Must have had an impact on him.
Who?
Imagine where the coach's head's at. He's the coach.
Oh, right.
One punch knockout incident.
Oh, no.
And just had his sentencing this week. So, you know, I don't know. You feel for Colvin and where his head's at the moment with all of that going on. And then call a spade a spade. The kid's 23 and hopefully learns from it, hopefully builds from it, and, you know, it makes him a better player, all of those cliches. But at the moment, Edmed's kind of choked every game.
Mm.
To your point there, like, I think if we're being realistic, I'm not expecting the Waratahs to be a top 14. I'm just expecting them to be better than 1 from 5, to have a points difference of minus 12, to be below pretty much everyone bar the Western Force of the Crusaders. I just think there was a missed opportunity, and I think they should be better than what they are. Fifth, sixth, that's where they are.
I think with their squad, mate, they should have been at the start of this year, that it should be neck and neck with the Reds, the type of squad that they can put on the park. And they haven't delivered it. And that amazing win against the Crusaders where we came on here jumping from the rafters, which was sick in hindsight. Crusaders are 0-5.
Yeah, wasn't that actually amazing? As then it was now third bottom,
you know,
versus
and
bottom
look,
right now.
Highlanders, well, they're pretty dog shit too. Drua, they're not the Chicago Bulls.
But to Jim's,
and then the only one was the Blues. But man, they were lucky to be within 2 points. Yeah, they were pretty convincingly beat up throughout that game.
It'd be interesting to Jim's point earlier on, though. You're right. But what's gonna? How is Parise and Marky Mark gonna continue on as the season progresses? You know, what's their look? And they're professional athletes who are getting paid a pretty dime. And don't get me wrong, I fully expect them to be fully committed. But,
hey, mate, no one in Ituasi is giving off the vibes that he's protecting his body for league at the moment.
Yeah, that's my point. Is that going to continue? It'd be interesting to see, or whether that, or whether something will change. But,
and I actually think it's worse than that. It's when you look how young the squad is. Peach young, Jorgensen young, no one in Ituasi young, Parise young, Walton young, Edmund young, Gordon, he's the only one, but you've got Teddy Wilson coming up the ranks, how good. The whole back row's young. You've got Emma Sierra in the second row, he's young, Bell's young. Like, it's a young team, man. And you thought, great, they've got Swiley, they're getting hell away. Holy shit, what are the Tars going to be next year? You know, they might finish top 6 this year. What are they going to be next year? But they've lost everyone. Like, they needed to keep this squad together. And if they're going to lose 3 or 4 blokes and potentially a coach, they're not building. They're resetting again, which just delays the whole operation a couple more years. So I just, the priest said he didn't have his best game of the week before. He was fucking sensational. His exit can't be, it can't be understated how bad that is.
To your point, though, last week when we talked about it, finance dictates. So unfortunately, that's one of the massive reasons for the resetting or the product, a process starts every year. But if you really are committed to the process, then keep DC.
Mate, yeah, money talks and every other code speaks fluent.
But yeah, and the other thing is, and I touched on it, and you really hope he learns from it and he comes out of it five times the player and carves, but Edmund just cannot ice the goal kicking. And then even the decision making, the last 3 minutes of the game and a lot of the time in Golden Point, there was just not that confidence to slot the drop goal when the options were there. And then when momentum was on, that's when they wanted to do the drop goal. It just all looked a bit of a debacle.
But I think that comes back to leadership. Like, no
disrespect.
Yeah,
is that Gordon's leadership?
Yeah, I really think it is. Leadership. I think it's a lack of leadership. And it's not just Gordon. I know he's running around with a C on his chest and everything, but I just feel it's the experience of a lot of those players in there. You know, give it to me. Let's set the platform. Put the team on their back, you know, and do it. And I don't think there's enough. There's enough individuals and good players. I think we're all better than all three of us. But I don't think there's any natural standout leader that just carries the team. And I know they're hard to find, but the Waratahs are seriously lacking that.
Yeah, and it's fine. You know, on one hand, are we just being overcritical and they've only lost these games by 1 or 2 points and they could just as easily be 5-0 on top of the table? Or
no, it's not that.
We're just being a bit reactionary. I don't think we are. I think...
I watched them play the Highlanders, man. I was at that game. I saw the one.
Yeah, it was... It just wasn't... Yeah, this was... All of that aside, tar misery aside... This was a sensational, edge of your seat, really bonkers game of rugby. And the Drua deliver that every time they play. They find a way to make it edge of your seat stuff and play just some sensational rugby. And, you know, just if you were a neutral in this one, you know, without that Australian and New South Wales perspective, it was sick. It was box office. And either team could have stolen it and just couldn't get over the line. And for the Drua to do it at home, special, special scenes. And you read about it on social media, the press coverage, the advertising in Fiji for Super Rugby men's and women's, what it means to that country. It's sick, mate. It's awesome. And you've got to enjoy that. So Tar's misery aside, a special game of rugby.
And just before we move on to the Brumbies, I just want to say one thing. You know what? Sometimes if you lose by 2 or 3, it actually hurts more. And there's actually bigger questions when you do it on an assistant basis than if you lose by 20 each week. Because the 20 each week, there's clear and obvious things that you need to work on. But when it's so close, it hurts a bit more. And it's harder to make that gap to go from losing by 2 to winning by 2. Whereas to go from losing by 20 to then get within 10, 5, 7, it's a lot bigger. It's a lot easier jump to make.
You know, the other thing before we kick on is, you know, when they played the Highlanders, it's unspoken how if Tane Edmed kicks that kick to win that game, you could make the argument that they won the last two games as well. They get the extra 3, whatever confidence boost you get from that. It gets you over the line against that Blues game. It gets you over the line in extra time against the Drua. Like that kick, the importance of it plays itself out in the season. It was
so true. And it's so unfair that the responsibility lies on one bloke, but it just does.
That's it.
Like it just does. You're not wrong there. Just one more thing before we move on. Just fucking with this. I don't know the thing about you did that.
Have we given enough, just a little side note here, enough credit to the fullback in the Highlanders and what a mouthful that name is? It's a great name, mate. I'm not going to try and give it justice here, but if you catch yourself watching a Highlanders game next weekend, it's awesome.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Tell you what, very, very, very good rugby player, though, and I'm not going to be culturally insensitive and butcher it, but that is a remarkable name.
what it was a remarkable performance was from the Bunbury's, though, to win by 39 against the Pacifica. It came back. We were concerned about potentially their fluency in the backs, their ability to spot space, the ability to put the game together. Now, again, you have to take it with a grain of salt and say it was just the Pacifica. Apologies. But to put 60 points on any team in Super Rugby is no mean feat. And there was a lot of players who played really well, and it was easy to talk about backs, whether that was Tom Wright or whether it was Lolasio. But also the forwards, the return of Hale, I thought, had again looked much better than what he had done in previous games. Swain and Neville, the balance looks better. So all round good performance from the Brumbies. Did what they needed to do, but did it very well.
Yeah, you got to make a statement. Got to make a statement against the Pacifica outfit. And what a way to do it. Clear signs that it goes through Bruce in Australia.
Goes through Bruce, baby. Even better than that, like, it's not that often that you get to watch your team play sick. And I've got to watch the team play sick. It's really cool when stuff just works and you're just having one of those days. And as an Australian rugby fan, thankfully a Brumbies fan, it doesn't happen that often. So it is really nice just to watch them put on a clinic. And I just think the guts of Larkham to rotate through the squad. I wouldn't have that, but they just have the systems in Canberra for whatever reason, continuity or culture or whatever other C word you want to use, that they can rotate blokes in and not drop, almost lift as guys compete for jerseys. It's the culture that every team dreams about, and to just be able to move in, you know, Frost is on the bench, Hooper's on the bench, Reimer's on the bench, Lonigan on the bench.
I agree with that completely, but you benefited by having Valentini in there, Lolasio in there, Wright in there, Tool in there. You got a bit of X factor, I mean, that in their position, which allows the inexperience or the rotation to occur because you've got that experience.
Around those players, absolutely. And look, just want to shout out Wright because he's obviously an exceptional rugby player, but he's a rocks or diamonds player. When it's diamonds, man, it's champagne. And it was so good to just watch him absolutely carve up. Noah is ripping this season. He's having a belter. He's taking it to the line, which is whatever happened in Toulon has just been worth every cent. It's been incredible. And then the unsung hero, I think, of the Brumbies is Tua at 12. The games he hasn't played 12, they haven't looked like themselves. I think he's just a very good player. And hasn't always had gotten the recognition he deserves. I thought he had an absolute ripper. And then on Wright, it sort of got me thinking that, and I think one thing maybe as a player, as a punter, as the guys I like in rugby, I've always struggled to put my finger on what it is at the elite level to be good. And I think it's just not making mistakes at this level. And when, do you know what I mean? Like, I just think players like Wright, they make mistakes. Australian rugby make mistakes. If you can be one of those guys who just doesn't make errors, and I was just thinking about Wright as the prime example of that. He has all of the ability. He just makes mistakes. And what is that? That ability to just, is it trying less and playing within yourself? Because if you look at, say, a Kellaway and a Wright, you know, perhaps Wright's got more upside in terms of bigger boot, bit more an attack, but Kellaway just never, ever puts a foot wrong. So I'm going Kellaway every day.
Yeah, no, I would agree. He's a much more, I think, particularly where you're at, if you have a team that's currently in transition or maybe is not performing to their potential, like the Wallabies are at the moment, you need the consistent player who's consistently performing at a high level. However, if you've got a team that's that's going on an upward trajectory and is making progress, then having the Maverick to break a team down or gives you that extra lift. Whereas I think where the Wallabies are at the moment, you need that high level consistency. You don't need the moment of magic. You just need the person to consistently compete at a high level.
I just don't know why. I just got on this train of thought. And I just think Australian rugby, because we've always seen ourselves as the country on the up.
You're not though.
No, of course we're not. We're in the world. But I think for a decade, we've been still looking for those X factor players. And me as a fan has been as well. But sometimes you just need, I don't know, you just got me thinking on that thought about
Who was the last player to revolutionize the game and be that maverick for you, Blake?
He's morbidly obese and unfit, so
it's been a fall from grace. I think what you're saying there, I mean, the Wallaby is the dude who has both cards up his sleeve.
Sure. You know?
And I think more important than that is to be able to play the game on its merits as it is, the game within a game. Like that first 10 minutes of an international game, back pocket that maverick, dude. We want to execute all the basics and the game plan to a very elite level, and that's going to keep us in it. If you're trying to maverick your way through the 20 and the 30 mark, it's just not the way you play the game. And Tom Wright, he plays best when the pressure's not on, but that's not reality. He plays best when it's Pacifica at home and you're already up 20. That's not reality. The way in which these super teams come out and play, like we talk about the points going on in this comp at the moment, there's so many points being scored. That's not how you win test matches. Outstanding, it'll do heaps for your confidence. It'll do heaps for your combinations, but that does not translate well to the international stage. So I'm not really fooled by any of this. I'm not really fooled by Lolasio having an absolute gun game, even though it's one of his better seasons. Not fooled by Tom Wright having an absolute blinder. He's way too risky to pick, and he can't execute the basics when the game's on the line, whether it's in the last 10 or the first 10. He's the last dude you want there. Kellaway is much more complete player in that regard, but there's no maverick up his sleeve. He's lost a lot of pace. I know he's a great dude. I know he's in the right place at the right time, but our systems are not strong enough for him to build off of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and look, this is a tangent. The Brumbies are sick. I love their performance, but it just got me thinking, and I agree with much of your sentiments there. And I think, you know, you're a big NFL fan, Jim. It's just not making errors. And then in those rare moments, that freak who can do something, maverick, can step up. But I just think Checker, Eddie, our patience with Rennie were all indications that we just wanted the maverick to save us. And this tangent, unrelated to Wright or the Brumbies, it's an interesting thought. And if you look at Ireland and who's been successful, Gibson Park, Mac Hansen, blokes that just don't do much wrong, and how they've transformed to be the elite international rugby players, but in a super rugby comp that cherished mavericks, they were sitting on a bench.
I think you've got to be careful there when you say don't do too much wrong, because it's almost like the ends justify the means. If they fuck up, Ireland aren't going to find themselves on a back foot and 20 points down. Australia will.
Yeah.
But the freedom to take those risks, we don't have a good enough team to do.
Yeah, and that was Richard's point. You can carry one or two of these blokes if the rest of your systems are tight. Anyway, we've rambled on for a long podcast, but it's my learning. It's my revelation this week. But all of that said, Brumbies were sick. Noah's my boy.
Can you just say the revelation from you, I think, is the final acceptance after watching that Hurricanes Rebels fixture, is that Tania Latupo is not the player that he formerly was.
And did Blake say revelation or revolution? Is he revolutionizing podcasting?
I think so. And look, to be honest with you, he did. He's not the only one.
Let's chat Tupou though.
All right, fair enough. So when he came on that pitch, he was someone, and I know we're making fun of you. He was part of that group of players who was trying to revolutionize that position. It was about ball carrying, but also great at set piece, mobile, athletic. But since he's had his injuries, he's never really got back to that same level, whether it's a result of the injury, but his level of dynamism, his ability to change direction as a result of maybe that injury.
Are you wrong then? He's still got all of that. He just can't back it up.
Yeah, sorry, Dust.
Like he came on the field and instantly they won a tight hit. They won the next scrum. He was off, and then he won a pilfer. And it's like, there's levels to this game, and Tupou was on the next level. And then for the next 20 minutes, he could not catch up with the game.
No.
And he went down injured 5 times with the trainer. He is just in no shape to be a professional athlete. He's not even close. And obviously it's why they're benching him. It's disgraceful. Imagine paying $1.2 million and the bloke is out of shape. Now, I feel sorry for him. It's obviously, He's had the one terrible injury, all that effort to get fit, then had another terrible injury, then got all that effort to get fit, and then had another injury. It would be really, really hard. And with his frame, I imagine it is very, very hard to get in shape. But he's in no condition. Like, you don't want two or three good plays there. And what happens is, because he's staffed, he'll give away a penalty. He'll do something lazy with his big dynamic frame. He'll do a stupid clean out, a stupid tackle, a dumb offload. He'll make that mistake. And for me, Tupou, it's just fitness. And it's clear to me that he has come down to the Rebels and he has not arrived at a brand new start, a brand new coach, a brand new culture that want to get the best out of him. I can't help it, from an outsider, looks like he showed up as the rock star and no one's had the guts to tell him to go do extras.
No wonder that fucking organization is in tatters, mate. You pay the dude 1.2. What comes with that is a leadership mentoring role, and you don't even make the team because you can't get in shape. Like, that's the culture. That's the culture they've said.
There could be 9 underlying injuries that we don't know about. That's what it looks like from here.
Well, until those come out, I'm going to assume it's the culture.
Yeah, I'm in. I agree. It, like, it looks rotten that this bloke showed up and he's bludging. This is what it looks like. Too harsh?
Nah, pull it out of the hat. Come on. If not now, when? This is Amy Park.
Rich?
Yeah, no, you're right. Look, ultimately, I think part of it has to be on him. He has to have a desire to get in shape and to do all those things. But I do feel that there's an underlying issue surrounding that injury as well. Whether it's he doesn't have the confidence or whatever it is, I'm not sure. But also, he needs to be held accountable. I don't know the situation. I'm not down there, obviously. But greater levels of accountability, whether that's, if it is just purely fitness, meeting metrics, is it about minutes, is about fines, what is it? Because greater responsibility or whatever it might be needs to be placed on him, because he is earning a shitload of money and he is wasting his talent at the moment, to your point.
Yeah, it just, that's what it looks like to me. But anyway, that's just Tupou. We're picking on a tight-end prop by the last half an hour. They all sucked.
Yeah.
They played the best team in the comp at home. It was a pretty tough assignment. The fact that they got 28 points.
Do you think they are the best team?
Canes.
I would have said the Chiefs, but then they've dropped one to the Reds. Didn't look amazing against the Highlanders, so they've gone a bit off the boil. Don't think the Blues have delivered yet this season. They're not quite there. And I mean, they're the top three Kiwi teams. I'm not sure who else you were thinking.
No, just
I would have said the Reds 4, but then they choked too. So maybe it's the Brumbies to sit at 4. I don't know.
No, I think just before this game, I think we'd have talked about that it'd been very close in terms of the Chiefs Hurricanes. But I think the gap is widening. Again, to the point about the Brumbies, scoring 54 points, 8 tries, 16 clean breaks. Like, the Canes are a very good outfit, particularly down at Wellington. So maybe they are the number one team in terms of power rankings, you know, because the Chiefs, you're right, did drop that game. But they just kind of snuck up. Like, before the season, and maybe this is my lack of knowledge or research, but I think
Never doubt your research, Rich.
Yeah. There was a lot of chat about the Chiefs and the Blues, but there wasn't, I don't think the Hurricanes were being pushed as much as what maybe they should be, because they are looking very, very good right now.
They can score points, can't they?
In a short time too. It's not like they just, you know, have long periods. They could, if you get on the wrong side of them, they can put a lot of points on you quickly. And they're very good.
TJ Perenara on the bench. That's crazy.
And a bit of a, like,
didn't he start
not
this week?
Not a start.
He did, but
no,
I think he's behind Royard.
Yeah. He is, yeah.
When they're all fit.
Yeah.
And they're not essentially a star-studded team either.
No. You know, but they got a lot of players who just fit there and they know their role. Whatever the pathway is. But they've got some key players that have been there a while, which allow you to, again, you know, just slot players in that haven't played for a while. And I think they're helped by, as you say, Perenara coming off the bench, Barrett coming in there, you know, obviously looking good at 12, and even the wingers as well look pretty good. They've got a number of very, very good players. So it's an exciting year for the Canes, really.
Early days, though. Don't get too excited, Richard.
Yeah, maybe. But
and
projecting
the Rebels just look done, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all over.
And I think Carter Gordon's playing cool. The 60s brother got to play. That was cool. But, you know.
Now, what is going to happen? Just project round to round six. There's a couple of really key games in round six moving forward. The first one, Crusaders are still waiting for their first win. And I think if we're being objective, they're probably not going to get it at home to the Chiefs, but they have to win at some point, just like the Force have to win. But are they going to win this next week? Friday game?
Nah, the legacy lives on. The legacy lives on.
Legacy lives, Rich.
Okay. So we're all going to the Chiefs. Big game Friday night is 7:30. Battle of the third and fourth worst teams in the competition currently. Rebels by two. Are we going, just as an aside?
Good Friday. Let's reassess. It's a public holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Canberra. Our problem is if we go out on a public holiday, there's no way we're still with it at kickoff.
Jim's apparently in Canberra. Get the other boys there going. Saturday's game.
Tars Rebels, who are we on? It's must win for both teams if they're going to stay in the competition at this point, isn't it? I don't know how the comp works, but it feels like...
Mate, it's top eight, mate. Seriously, they'll both be fine. Someone will get in. The Highlanders will drop enough points because they're in a Kiwi conference. The Drew will not drop enough points because they'll play away. But it'll be I'm a believer. It's going to be the Waratahs, mate, by 10.
Yeah, they need it, man. The Tars need a win here. They need a win big. And I don't know. The physicality of the Rebels is real, though. But I don't know. Whoever loses is in big trouble. Big trouble. It's a must win for both teams. But you'd need the Tars.
Jim?
Yeah, I'm going Tars. Tars got they are a better squad, mate, whether you like it or not. They've shown up every week. Rebels haven't shown up every week.
Tell you what, at the moment, though, Tars are huge favourites. Two horse race.
Rebels suck, mate.
No, they
proper
do.
Suck.
They do suck. You won't hear it from me otherwise.
It's a horse and a pony.
I heard Tupo's been doing the beep test all week.
Well, it took him 5 weeks.
Nothing but Broncos.
All right. Force Druid. It's in Fiji. Who are you going for, boys?
Well, I would have said the Druid would do this in a cakewalk, but the Force a bat, baby.
Nah. Druid in a cakewalk.
You know what? Just the inconsistency of the Druid tells me that this is going to be a nail biter.
So who's going to win, Blake? That's what we're
asking. They don't give up.
No, they dig, mate, unless the CP come in and put you on an airplane.
Pacifica Blues. I'm skipping over that. Pacifica Blues.
The Blues. Poor Pacifica. I don't think they've had a home game this season because their home stadium in New Zealand, the turf wasn't fit for purpose. Before the game, they had to fly up and play somewhere else.
So their home game.
Is the home game, but it's in Auckland, right?
Yeah, it's at Eden Park. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, the four guys, like they still haven't had a home game, and I think that explains their walloping by the Brumbies. They've just been on the road forever. They've had a terrible run of traveling. Yeah, they need to get fucking pumped.
Highlanders Hurricanes Saturday night 5:05. Highlanders down in Dunedin, South Hurricanes.
Look, yeah. I'll say it again. Highlanders.
Okay. So we're all going to.
They played well on the weekend, though.
And the big one, Reds, Brumbies, and Suncorp, 7:35, Easter Saturday. Who are you going with? Jim, where's your money?
It's Easter Saturday, I think.
I thought you stuck that in there.
You just made up another holiday.
Just thought I could, you know. Sorry.
I just reckon Suncorp, I think that's where it lies. I reckon the cauldron that they got up there, the performance they put it up, like, no, but that's the difference. The crowd, the third leg, if you will, the fourth leg, even. I just think, I'm going with Reds.
I love this game. For me, this is the residual, the leftover from the years of Super Rugby AU. And just to drill down on that point, what I mean is I always go for the Australian teams. Like I go for the Force against the Drua. I'll go for whatever Aussie team is playing. I'm cheering for the Aussie team. And I like it when we're not playing each other, because then I get to cheer for more Aussie teams. And there's more box office games that I must watch. But that year, was it 2 years? We had Super Rugby AU.
Yeah.
I really, really began to feel tribal. And I really began to be particularly loyal to my Brumbies.
Who's your pick, man?
The Reds were top dogs then. It made me particularly hate the Reds. And I remember Nick Berry, the fucking decisions in the 79th minute, and just being so furious.
Still waiting for your decision, man.
Brumbies couldn't get it done. It was 2 years in a row the Reds beat us, and that was 1 year, whatever it was.
Just spit it out, man.
I loved it, man. And I feel like this is the rematch. Both teams are back at that apex. I cannot wait for this game. Can I just add a bit of drama, boys? Trying to add a bit of drama. I'm so excited for this game. And I guess the interesting ingredient for me...
So you still haven't given us a prediction yet?
No. I'm milking this rule.
I'm curious about this interesting ingredient. Well, tell me.
Interesting ingredient was where the Reds messed up the Brumbies' world was Tupo. Because
are you still banging on about this bloke, mate? We did halfers on him.
Because the Brumbies...
He's not even playing in this game.
Exactly.
How could he be an ingredient?
Well, that was the Red blueprint to beating the Brumbies. They messed up the Brumbies' set piece. Because Tubo just pulverized them at the scrum. And I feel like that rocked the Brumbies. Reds don't have that ingredient. So I think it's going to be much for muchness everywhere.
It's not there.
So it makes it, for me, a much more level playing field.
So just to confirm.
Yeah, well, you're trying to do that.
So we're going to run with the food analogy and this interesting ingredient thing.
Who are you on, Rich?
Right now, just to confirm, the secret ingredient is no longer there and you still haven't given us your prediction.
Yeah, it's all built. Who are you on?
The Reds, mate.
Five?
And six.
Is that the KISS bounce back?
It is. Bounce back ability, mate.
Jim, you're on the Reds?
Yeah, I'm on the Reds too. The KISS bounce back, baby.
Isn't it nice that there's one not dirty dog on here? I'll stay loyal. Go to the Brumbies.
Well, if you've managed to listen, stay the length of our podcast after Blake's soliloquy and beautiful performance, monologue, thank you for listening and excited for this round of rugby. And hopefully, boys, you'll actually tip in the footy competition, the footy tips competition that I am winning at the moment. So I
haven't
thank
made
you.
It since round one.
Just on that, but I'm going to go a little bit more. I don't know if you know, but the Reds are the highest scoring team in the whole comp. They've scored more points than any other team.
Would you call that an ingredient?
I would call it an interesting side dish.
Condiment.
Spice. But in saying that, the blueprint to beat the Brumbies and the Force did it, the Reds and the Force did it on the weekend. It's just you got to fucking score over 40 points. That's the first thing you got to do, because they're definitely getting a fair amount of points behind it. Second one is you run everything at Vunivalu.
Could I add a spicy sauce to this?
You can.
Corey Tall. That's my spicy sauce.
So is he the key ingredient for success then? Getting the ball to him?
No, Rich, you're not following, mate.
I am following. I'm just trying to bring him
along. You're no chef, mate.
Is the unwanted condiment.
I'll pile on.
Spicy sauce gets on the condiment. Reds are in trouble.
All right. Thanks, boys. All right. Thanks, boys.
I'm on the Brumbies.
Yeah, baby. Spicy sauce.